And welcome to Sister Sage Herbs Roadside Herb Service. My name is Mark Fendel, and this is Jane Simmons.
Hello.
Jane is the owner of Sister Sage Herbs, a natural remedies company here in Seattle, Washington. We sell every day of the year at Pike Place Market.
Except today. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. And we sell online at sistersageherbs.com. And all of the PCC regional markets. Yes. And welcome to our podcast. Today, the content here is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. And with that, Happy New Year, everybody. And today we are going to talk about black cohosh. Yes. And we're going to start out with a little story. I was cleaning out some boxes in our upstairs
in the loft.
And thank you. And I came across this tincture, this old tincture. And I pulled it out and it just... The label looks so old on it, and the writing looked just ancient to me. So I pulled it out, and I was like, oh, what's this? And it says black cohosh, and it says hot flash, 3 drops, 3 times a day. I immediately tried it. And I took it down, and I just put it on the counter. And I was going to ask you about it, because I remember learning about this a little bit from Paul Bergner 2 years ago.
Which class did you? Portland Plant Medicine Gathering.
Exactly.
Cool.
And and I remember being excited about the tincture, and he had passed it around, and we got to try it. And
I love that kind of class.
And I think I tried the blue cohosh too. Mm. Mm-hmm. So I was excited to ask you about it. So, yeah. So what's the story with this tincture?
Well, I will have to say that this tincture is probably 25 years old. Seriously.
It looks
like scary, witchy potion.
It does.
It is black, pretty much.
Yeah,
brown, black. It looks like it still has the stuff in it.
Yeah, it has particles in it. Oh. It's in a 4-ounce tincture bottle with a very old label, and you can see that the writing has kind of faded on it, but it's still like very clearly in huge.
Yeah.
In huge marker says black cohosh.
It's got like crud on it inside.
Yeah.
I know. But it was made with grain alcohol 25 years ago.
Cool.
I believe in the year of the 1993 or so.
Yeah.
Long time ago. And so a friend of mine, who shall hopefully remain unnamed in this, anyway.
Well, tinctures last.
Yeah, they last this long. Well, first of all, what was your impression of it when you took it? Did you take it upstairs? You just went up there?
Yep. I had no fear.
Did you get your, like, whoa?
What did you think? What was my impression? Mm-hmm. Well, I like bitter things.
True.
So, and...
Good thing.
Yeah, because, whoa.
You took, a whole dropper?
No, not a whole dropper. I just, took, like, I took a dropper and I put like a drop on my hand.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And just tasted it and it's very powerful.
That's why 3 drops can do it for you. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, just activate the bitters for all the whatever the different things it's for. But so the story is that my friend went to herb school. Well, he's now an acupuncturist, but he went to herb school first at Bastyr and took this class on making the herb tinctures. And so he made this all these tinctures. And then he moved into the co-housing near my farm, that my farm is kind of adjacent to. So I didn't know him in 90, wherever, whenever he was going to school. But once I started my farm in 2001, these were already 6 years old. And he moved in, and they have a common house, and anybody have anything that they want to store, they can just put in the common house, you know, closets or hang on the wall or bring, you know, donate a piano in there. So he had his tinctures stored under in, you know, in a dark, cool place in these boxes underneath the co-housing. And so when I started my farm, he was like, oh, do you want to see what I have? I have all these different tinctures down here. And I was like, well, my whole thing is that I want to grow the herbs that I'm, you know, selling. So I would love to see what you have. And, you know, but my goal is to make my own, you know. And so we went down there and he was like showing me all these different ones. And there just was like these big, you know, 32 ounce, like giant, you know, beautiful tinctures. And so all labeled with everything correctly and everything. And so I was like, well, you know, I will buy some from you. So he sold me like 32 ounces of it, you know. And just through the years, I've been like giving it out to my friends and sort of using it, but not really, you know, quite going for it. But anyway, this was from that.
Wow.
And it's still good. So it was made with grain alcohol, which is, you know, 95% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So by now, it might have absorbed a little water, or it might have, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's still like at least 90 proof, you know, 90% alcohol, probably.
Hmm.
So still good, preserved it.
Yeah.
At least I feel like it's very, very strong still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's try it. Let's try it right now, and we'll just try to describe it as we try it live. So Jane's taking a little dropper out, and whoa, you gave me like, that was about four or five drops.
All right. Three.
Mm. Oh, I really like it. It's extremely bitter.
You can kind of taste the bark.
Yeah, it tastes barky, kind of.
But clean. Mm-hmm. It's got like this, like not menthol, but kind of piney, or like it kind of is a little bit like the resin of the
cottonwood, mm-hmm. a little bit, yeah,
or propolis, kind of, you know.
That is extremely bitter, though.
You know what? I took one,
but I love it.
I took one drop earlier just to remind myself, mm-hmm. and then just now when I took three in a row,
mm-hmm.
it was more all over my mouth. You know, the first time it was just kind of like right where I put the drop.
Yeah.
But this time I got more flavor from it, I feel like. I don't know if it was because it was my second time taking it. But I definitely have heard through going to some of these herb classes and things that the more bitters you take, the less your receptors, you know, get desensitized to it. And they're like, oh yeah, bitter, oh yeah, whatever. My mouth's watering right now from it. But yeah, it stimulates your digestive juices all mm-hmm. the way down your system. And so what have you read up about the effects or medicinal qualities?
Well, I think before that, let me ask you one quick question. So how long can a tincture last?
That was the sound of my shoulders shrugging. unknown, but I mean, we should probably get it tested, see how much alcohol is in there.
Well, I mean, my understanding was that tinctures can last generations sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it seems so. This is...
Right?
Yeah. It depends. I mean, if you are only having a glycerin, you know, as your preservative, then you just want to drink that up. Like,
right.
It's just like a tea.
No, I'm talking about alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, grain alcohol.
Yeah, grain alcohol.
That's why I kind of, I, you know.
At the proper dosage, though, right. You know, because you have to have the right amount. So you could have grain alcohol, but put fresh herb in there and put too much fresh herb, and then there's not enough alcohol in the total formula, you know? Mm-hmm. So he probably took dried black cohosh and did something to it in some kind of lab, maybe heated it, maybe mm-hmm. not, and really soaked that in there. Mm-hmm. And then they had, I guarantee you, they had a really good press, you know, to press it all out. And maybe he even used powdered, you know, maybe they powdered the herb or they bought it powdered. So that's a lot of different kinds of ways. There are a lot of different ways to process the different herbs. So, but yeah, that's good.
Well, let's move on to the next part of the podcast, talking about some of the things that we've found in our various books that we have here. And we'll reference these both right now. We're looking at Indian Herbology of North America by Alma R. Hutchins. And we have Matthew Wood, of course, The Earthwise Herbal, A Complete Guide to New World Medicinal Plants by Matthew Wood. And what do you have there?
I have Herbal Medicine from the Heart of the Earth. It says it was the new updated version, but only the second edition, I doubt it's very update now. But Dr. Cheryl Marie Tilgner. And I'm also checking out Matthew Wood in this is an awesome book by edited by Rosemary Gladstar and Pamela Hirsch. Planting the Future, Saving Our Medicinal Herbs. And this particular book is great. It goes through a lot of the plants that are on the endangered list. If you don't know Rosemary Gladstar, you should. United Plant Savers is her nonprofit foundation. And they are dedicated to reintroducing and preserving spaces that have some of these natives, or for people who are growing or dedicated. I have a friend who has a small, he got I think it was like a $500 grant to create a golden seal sanctuary on his plot. So that really helped him be able to purchase. I remember when he put in like 100 teeny little, he said they were like strings. And he put them all in his patch with this money and enhanced his area around it and everything. He had to protect them from the deer and everything. Beautiful. So, and he also is growing the black cohosh that I was able to get a small chunk of recently, last year. So, I was checking out the National Geographic Guide to Medicinal Herbs, the world's most effective healing plants.
There's a lot of stuff here that we've looked at. Yeah, where shall we begin? This plant is all over the world, it seems.
Well, I think we should probably start with the calling it a woman's herb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they believe it either has phytoestrogen properties or that it activates, you know, estrogen. People take it to help remedy the hot flashes and the menopause syndrome.
Yeah.
Or the symptoms. But also pain reliever, so spasms, muscle spasms. Matthew Wood even says just looking at the root makes him think it's for fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's incredible.
Yeah. He also says right here that black cohosh or black snake root is one of the great American Indian female remedies in the eastern woodland regions. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that stays, that people start growing it and protecting the stands that are already out there.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a Native American herb. It is an herb that was here.
Absolutely.
When people came.
Yeah.
And, or when white people came.
Yeah, well, you know, so. We need to, you know, be respectful when talking about other people's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Here. Mm-hmm. And always.
Yeah. So, anyway. I have not really been very diligent about taking the black cohosh on mm-hmm. any time, but I was thinking I'd try to do that and see how that goes for like a month.
Sure. I mean, it is. I mean, it says here in Matthew Wood's book that it's great for hot flashes.
Hot flashes.
Yeah.
Well, I also just fell on the snow on the skiing, snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have a little bit of whiplash, and mm-hmm. this is also, he was saying, he calls it the whiplash plant also, mm-hmm. because it's, well, there are a few things that Matthew Wood talks about with doctrines of signatures,
mm-hmm.
and that is that the root looks like the fibromyalgia, the unfurling flower head, looks like a fetus, so it's good for right before childbirth. They would give just drops, just teeny bits, to strengthen and start the contractions very, very mildly. This is not something you should try at home
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how they did it. I'm sure they had their amounts, you know, precise. But they would basically start creating... you know, strengthening the uterus
mm-hmm.
through the contractions, or you know, toning it for the contraction,
mm-hmm.
and it also helps with getting spinal fluid throughout your body,
mm-hmm.
and so that helps ease congestion in the pelvic area when you're giving birth.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly, this is one of the herbs that really bridged the gap right off the bat, because pretty much the midwives were probably, you know, some of the Native Americans, you know, were just there and would help if there was a problem. And this is probably one of the herbs that they were like, oh my gosh, use this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we do, you know, giving freely. So, again, I haven't really used it myself, but, I've been mm-hmm. wanting to. I mean, off and on, I'll take it and be like, oh my gosh, this is so bitter.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for it this month. So.
Yeah.
That's about all. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it.
Let's talk about depression.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I keep reading in various places, you know, these books about that black cohosh is really good for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, Matthew Wood keeps using the word brooding.
Or melancholy. He used
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He says here, brooding, pensive, with possessive, manipulative kind of business people involved with money.
Hmm. Interesting.
Manipulative business partners. Very interesting.
Interesting.
Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, those tangled roots, you know, that's getting all into some interesting places.
Right.
But definitely, you know, this is the... Right now it's sunny in Seattle, so it's kind of hard to believe it's the darkest time of the year, but
mm-hmm.
it is, and it's going to be a while until the sun is like this, sort of on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, this herb, you know, it's super deep dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's black when it oxidizes. That another herbalist had talked about Doctrine of Signatures, of how deep and dark it is. And then the plant's flowers are white, and so they show you the dichotomy of the depression. If you can see that far down, then that means you can see that far up on the other side, you know, because you could balance that back out. So that's interesting. Because in the summertime, it's just like, oh, I'm white and cheery, and I'll show you the way in the nighttime, you know, when you're out in the, you know. So that's another, you know, dark time, but it's showing you the light. So there's some interesting things with the folklore around it, you know, and the stories around these herbs that hopefully, it helps me remember things about the herbs and how they're supposed to be used. But also for the depression, people have added St. John's wort with it.
Oh, really, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, can I?
Yeah. Maybe even some lemon balm.
Is anybody?
Who knows?
You know? That's a really nice combination.
And it doesn't have to, as you can see, you don't need much of this to activate in there your bitters, you know. So I don't know what people are doing, but it seems like that's a pretty good idea.
And
in fact, Sharon Tilgner says that it was proven in one of the studies. I'm not going to go back and show you the...
Well, anyway, okay, so let's talk about, can we just talk about black cohosh? Where would I get it? How would I get a tincture of black cohosh?
Well, first of all, you might want to, it depends on what you want. Why do you want only black cohosh, for one thing?
Well, we're talking about it, so if somebody is listening on the other end of this podcast, you know, they're thinking, well, okay, I'm interested in, you know, this plant or this tincture or, you know.
I'm holding it like this. I'm getting possessive of it. I'm like, why do you want that? Mostly because I say that because, again, like, everybody has good intentions. We're going to take this thing every day. I'm going to do it. But I've never tasted it.
Well,
I don't know how I'm going to. Yeah. So this might sit on someone else's shelf, and it might be better for that person to try a combination of something.
Sure.
So first of all, I would just say, you know, maybe try something that has it in it, you know, as a third or fourth ingredient.
I see.
You know, just to see, because you don't...
And there are products like that already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
So, okay, so I'm going to talk about my competitor.
No, this is fine.
The Herb Farm in Williams, Oregon.
Of course.
Which is the first place I saw the black cohosh growing. And I was there for, believe it or not, the United Plants Savers Conference was on their farm. And so they were talking about all the herbs that they were growing because they were on the endangered list. And so I went around and we got the tour and I was just like, oh my gosh, what are those plants? And I was like, that's black cohosh. Oh my gosh, I really want to grow that. And it just has taken a while. My farm didn't have that much shade. And then the shady places weren't that fertile. So it's taken a while. But I got, again, my other friend Anbashan also has a lot of these plants. So I've been getting cuttings or root cuttings or dried roots to try things. But, I would say, you know, a tincture from them would be probably from their farm, their farm's product. So I feel very good about that.
Great.
You know, if you needed a single, I would do that. Or a combination that they make, because again, they, you know, they know their blends pretty well too.
Definitely.
Been doing this a while.
They are established.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very reputable.
Very nice relationships with their herb growers and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good folks.
There you go.
I think that's all I got for you.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah.
That was a lot more than I thought we could talk about with it.
Well, I'd really like to see the plant sometime.
Yeah. It's really cool. It has like a... I mean, mine are only like... I did actually buy some plant starts from Rich Ocheck, who actually lives directly across the street from the herb farm.
Is that right?
Seed farm, yeah.
Wow.
He actually used to be the grower for Ed, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so he branched off and decided he wanted to have a seed farm. So he has medicinal seeds, vegetables, trees, all kinds of stuff. Very cool.
This is strictly
medicinal herbs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Formerly known as Horizon Herbs. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So I got some plants from him, and they just are kind of like this triangulation. They come up, and then they branch out like that, and they're like stick. And then another one will come out and branch out like that.
Like then,
like this, just one third.
They look, yeah, they look like a little...
I haven't had them flower yet, mine.
Is that right?
So small. So I think mine
they're just kind of a long stick with a
maybe?
With like little... teeny buds or little teeny flowers,
oh, flowers
or little leaves of, that just come maybe
well,
like an inch off of the stick.
Well, those are the flowers, all flowers. That's different parts of the flower. I'm saying that this is one third of the plant. Like this is one, and then there would be another one and another one. So there'd be like three of these branching off like that.
So you're talking about branches with leaves on it.
Exactly. And then this, I haven't seen a flower yet. So this picture you're looking at, you're looking at this is the flower.
Right.
The whole flower stalk comes out of the middle also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited to have them flower. It's starting to get a little more shady in that area, so I think they're going to, next year, burst.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I can't wait to
see
it.
But yeah, we can go over to Dragonfly Botanicals and check out their farm, do a podcast from there.
Definitely.
Look forward to that. Very cool.
Right on.
All right. Now well, I think we have really exhausted everything. Talk about it.
Well, we'll do an update sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And Happy New Year, folks.
Happy New Year.
If you made it to the end of this podcast, you are super awesome. We're wishing you an amazing 2019 with lots of love and gratitude.
Serious.
SisterSageHerbs.com. Take care, folks. Bye.
Bye.